Okay, I will not talk so much about technical issues, but more about the usage of them against deviant behavior. And I would follow some theses. One of it is that we see a shift of repression to the so-called proactive repression. Proactive is a term that is being used in the security critical academic debate, which is quite different from preventive, because if you want to prevent something, then you have something which is existing, which you prevent for. But for proactive, the proactive approach is more like to try to foresee any threat that might happen, that does not exist yet, but that might happen in the future, and act against it. And I will try to show this shift in the police networking in Europe, and I will at the end give a proposal how to act against that. So first of all, I will talk about some institutions, and in the second part I will talk about the technical aspects and how they are used. Last week, the IMF director declared us that the IMF is expecting much more riots in the future related to the money bank crisis, for example. And this is not the only institution, for sure, that is preparing for public disorder, for whatever riots, disturbances. Also, the NATO. This quote comes from a strategy paper that is written for the upcoming NATO summit that will take place in Germany and France in April. And the NATO wants to decide a new strategy, which is also a proactive approach, a proactive strategy, including the usage of nuclear weapons for proactive reason. And in this quote, you can see that the NATO is quite concerned about the homelands. So normally you would think that the NATO is operating in so-called third countries, so outside the NATO membership countries. But in the strategy paper, they talk quite a lot. They strengthen that the relations, so with the homeland security, is very important. And in the paper, they propose networking, a comprehensive approach of all different sectors of the society against any possible threat. So here you can see the more and more shrinking, linking of the different parts of the society, above all like military and police, which in Germany, for example, is currently a debate to use the military in home affairs, so internal security. Also in the United States, so last week there was a report published by a so-called War College. Probably there are many war colleges in the USA, but one of them published a report in which they propose that by 2012, 20,000 soldiers should be ready to be used inside the United States if they are needed, because they expect also public disorder in the future. As you might know, Italy already does it. There are now 3,000 carabinieri, which is the paramilitary police force in Italy, being used to support the police. You have this also in France, for example, with a paramilitary force, which can be also under the responsibility of the defense minister. On the other hand, the EU ministers of interior are very interested in the external security now. Like the NATO, I showed for NATO, there is also a white paper published by a so-called future group. I will explain later what the future group is, and what future they mean. And in this white paper, they give advices how to deal in the future with the European internal security. And this is very important because in November 2009, the EU ministers of interior will meet and decide the next 5 years plan on European internal security. And this is quite heavy, and the German minister Schäuble is playing a very crucial role in that, and I will explain that later. What I want to point out is why I'm here is because I find it very important that the struggle against surveillance, control, new databases like forensic remote search of computers, etc., should leave the national level, because you have that in many countries in the EU. And if you go to another country and explain them, yeah, now we have this data retention law, you have that also? Oh, that's interesting. So we have to much more network and try to set up a European campaign against that. Like the Arbeitskreis Vorratsdatenspeicherung, how to translate that. So like they did it with the Freedom Not Fear Action Day in autumn, but I would say it didn't work because it was very badly prepared. The EU Home Affairs is orientating much more on the idea of the Homeland Security Department in the United States, trying to act with risk analysis, and this I will also try to show in some examples. So this was a brief overview about some institutions. So these guys are responsible for the European internal security. These are the ministers of Interior and Justice. And they meet very often, but they met also in 2007 when Germany had the when the G8 presidency was by the German government, and also the first half of the year the EU presidency. And many people get organized against the G8, for example, as you might remember in Heiligendamm, there was lots of protest. But I would say we forgot to look at what they decided, because they decided very heavily. So they really changed the future of European Home Affairs, because they took many heavy decisions. And the main actors were Schäuble, as the Minister of Interior in Germany, and Franco Frattini. Frattini was the former Commissioner of the EU for Home Affairs. Now he's Minister of Exterior from Berlusconi. But they both are very pushing the European police networking forward. And it's interesting to be here and to talk about that here and that place, because every year the European police is meeting here. They do it also in 6 weeks again to explain themselves, so the new measures in the country and how to develop a common European perspective, so which is the European Police Congress. One of the changes is the so-called cross-border crime fighting. So before, there had been a treaty which was called Prüm Treaty, which was like more or less a trial how this might work out. And the Prüm Treaty has now become European framework. That means it will be adopted by each member country. And this means that every police force or every minister of interior can order support from other countries. And police can be deployed in other countries, which is very well developed between Germany and France, for example, or Germany and Switzerland. You had that at the Euro Championship last year, for example. German police helped the French police, or also at the G8 in 2003, when the German police came with the water cannons, because in France they didn't have them. And this is now, as I mentioned, EU framework, which is quite interesting. I was thinking about Greece now, because the riots are still going on, and they will go on, this is announced. I'm not sure if, for example, in these cases, they might request some help from other police forces from other countries. Also, Europol, which is the European police force, gets much more competencies and plays a coordination role. Europol is involved in all relevant meetings that are concerned on European police networking. And if I say more responsibilities, that means that in 2010, Europol will have enlarged competencies and will be now responsible for all serious crimes, whatever that means. Europol is already running a so-called Check the Web platform, which is obviously observing the internet. I'll talk a little bit about that more later also, about the technical aspect. And Europol is running also a database. It's not really known about what, but they say a database on everything that concerns our responsibility. So, European police issue, I don't know. And for sure, they have also a data exchange with national police forces. Up to now, they have to make the data exchange by hit or no hit requests. But it is foreseen they need so-called liaison officers, like networking officers, something like that, to where the police has to go, can you please check if there's something inside? Yes, there is, okay, then we make a request to know what it is. And this should be much more easy in future. So this is about Europol. Then you have a so-called situation center, which was created in 2004. It is a networking of the secret services. And it is a bit weird because the purpose of a secret service is not to give information to another country, but so they share information, and obviously not all information. And you can see very well that there is lots of competition already going on, so about the competencies, not only with the secret services for sure, but also among the police, also with Europol, for example, because many national police forces don't want to give anything of their responsibility. But all these efforts can be seen as steps to the creation of a European Ministry of Interior, which normally, if the ministers are asked on that, they say, no, it's not like that, it's just like more networking, pointing out the European aspect. But this is what many people that are critical with these developments guess, that in future they try to build up something like an own Ministry of Interior. Probably you heard already about Frontex. Frontex is the agency that is responsible for the security at the borders. Frontex has very different units. They also have a rapid intervention team. But why I mentioned Frontex here is because one of their basic issues is risk analysis. So try to find out when will refugees come from which country, which countries will they cross, which route they will take, where will they try to enter the EU. And then to quickly inform the concerned border troops of the country and help them also with own stuff. So also about Frontex, about the technical issues, I will explain more later about the usage of satellites, for example. Another institution is a program that is called, as it mentioned there, a research program on security during major events. I was introduced by that our group Gipfelsuli was installed after the G8 in Genoa and the heavy protests. So maybe you remember the police, how they acted against the protest. And after 2001, after Genoa and Gothenburg, there had been a EU summit where also had been very heavy demonstrations, and they created an own program to elaborate standards how to cope with a summit protest, because it was not safe enough and lots of disturbances. And so they worked out some standards, which are, for example, building fences, as you have seen in Heiligendamm, or for example, having very good relations to the press. Also exchange data of possible troublemakers beforehand, which normally the police then doesn't let into the country. And maybe you remember that at the protests in Heiligendamm, there had been mass arrests, like more than 1,000 people, I think 1,500 people were arrested. And this is also a standard that was elaborated in the paper. So they recommend to make mass arrests. And these people that were arrested, sure, will appear in some files. So, yeah, where this person was arrested at some G8 in Heiligendamm, so probably he or she is a troublemaker or has friends. And so, for sure, these people will get problems entering the country. For example, at the Genoa summit, at the Genoa G8, 2,000 people were refused to enter Italy. Okay, I will not go any deeper in that. But this is also one of the programs that was developed on European security. The picture you see is at the G8 in 2003 in Geneva. It is a media center raided by the police. Also about the military, so as I mentioned, there's a big debate going on in Germany, but also in other countries, how to use the military in internal security. The picture is one of the pictures that was taken in Heiligendamm at the G8 by the fighter jets, the Tornado jets. Maybe you remember that. It was a bit of a scandal in Germany, at least. So what the military did, not only with the planes, but also with the tanks, they sent their intelligence unit, so like the German term would be Aufklärung. This photo, for example, shows a motorway with the risks, because there is a tunnel under the motorway, there is some hay bales lying around, and the hay bales might be put under the tunnel and maybe set on fire. And so, like that, the military was searching for ground that changed, so surface changes. For example, they were looking after depots for barricades from activists, and this is done automatically, so as you might imagine, so there's nobody looking all the films and checking, oh, did it change? No, this tree was there before. So everything is now automatically. So they say this should be done until 45 minutes. This is also a standard. So after the plane had been landed and the information had to worked out. So this was a quite nice test for the German military to work together with the police at a large mission, like large event, Großereignis. And so I would see the military, the help of the military at the G8 in Germany as a, well, I would say maybe the biggest training after the World Championship in 2006. And what is also interesting, that the scandal in Germany was mostly about the planes and the tanks. But if the military is involved in any security issue, for sure also the military secret service, so the intelligence is involved, but nobody spoke about that. Also, you have lots of more security research in the EU that is now combined in like more or less think tanks, or you have some institutes. In Germany, it's the Fraunhofer Institute that created a new branch of civil and military research. So this is also a trend, that civil and military research is shrinking. So when this happened in Germany in 2007, the Minister of Research, she said, yes, the military research should benefit much more from the social science, and it will also save us much money if we don't have the civil and military research acting on their own, but being combined. Also, you have lots more shrinking of public and private security, and if I say private, I mean for sure the industry. So the market is heavily growing, and I guess also now with the crisis, it will go on, it will grow much more. And this is also something very interesting. I mentioned the European Police Conference that is happening every year in Berlin, at this place. It is not really a police conference, it's more a police fair, because not only the ministers of interior meet and the police authorities and other officials, but the security industry, on their websites, the European Police Conference is advertised as a big security fair. And they are here presenting their products and saying, yeah, after your speeches, you can pass by and have a coffee at our desk and we explain you our new software, blah, blah, blah. So there's much more working together. Also, for example, at this this Fraunhofer Forschungsverbund, how to explain that, research unit, the security industry is involved. So the biggest German industry, like RDS, for example, but also the BKA, which is the federal police. And as I mentioned, the combining of technology and social science in the research aspect. I mentioned the future group, this it is. It was initiated by Wolfgang Schäuble, the German Minister of Interior, and Franco Frattini. It was created in 2007 also. The important thing is, there was no request to install them, so nobody asked them. So there is no official document, you find nothing about that in the EU structures. So it was really like a personal decision that everybody liked, for sure. And so this future group tries to develop our security for the future. And the future group is now discussing about the next 5 years plan on inner security. So currently we are running under the Den Haag program, but the Den Haag program will end in 2009. And from 2010 there should be a new program, which possibly will be the Stockholm program, because it will be decided under Swedish EU presidency, probably in November 2009. And this new 5 years plan, so I mentioned that they wrote a white paper, contains lots of changes, mostly, so the main target of all that are migrants, for sure. So their main problem, their main threat, well, okay, they talk about organized crime and terrorism, but migration and control migration, stop migration, is the biggest part in the paper. It's a 50 pages paper and it's very interesting to read. And they talk a lot also about information technology and how to use more surveillance and control in the future in European police affairs. I will talk about that now. So this will be the second part. The technologies for a modern police mission, as they call it. This quote is also from the European Police Conference 2007. So their problem is not anymore to gather information, so they have now most of the laws, most of the possibilities, most of the black boxes to intercept any communication. Unless this guy from the security industry says, okay, some conditions need to be changed anyway. And this information overkill is called by the future group data tsunami, which I like very much, this expression. So, so they really fear how to cope with all the information they might gather now. And this is a sheet from EADS, which is, I guess you know it, one of the biggest security companies. And this shows so which sensors they have, so which information should be elaborated, which information should be dealt with. And they have this circle of like, on the left hand you have the sensors that give the information that should be processed by some command center, that evaluates the information and possibly takes some decisions. And the decisions are also, for sure, supported by computers, for example. So in the lecture before about the robot laws, this guy talked a lot about that. And then, so you have the response. So these systems were developed by the military, and they were called C4I. Command, control, communications, computers, and intelligence. So how to combine all these informations and have a sensible output of that. And I put the picture of the Greece riots here because there is a US company that delivered last week the last tranche of a C4I system to the Greek police. That was started in 2004 with the Olympics, so they started to build it up for the necessity of the Greek police for security reasons, and so it was finished last week, which I find very obvious. Well, I'm sure that they will not manage to control the riots by it, but I think it's one of the tries. So how to get rid of any deviant behavior. You have much more surveillance of the internet. I mentioned before the Check the Web platform of Europol, for example. The German proposal is to combine every surveillance of telecommunication and internet in one center that can be requested also by the police, by the Secret Service, to save money, to gather competencies. And the German proposal is that in each European member country there should be a creation of one of these internet surveillance centers. This is a proposal from Wolfgang Schäuble also. Also, you have the usage of satellites, which are for sure also not only used by the military, so in the units that are created like for the research and install and using, also the police, the federal German police, the BKA is involved. So the BKA is also very interested in satellite pictures. And it is interesting because the resolution is now down to 50 centimeters. So with the satellites, you might now see if there is a dustbin or not somewhere, or if there is something that is half a meter of size. So if anything changed in the surface. So, for example, before I mentioned the military help of the airplanes, of the Tornados, that were trying to detect any change in the surface, this could be done also by satellites, so much more discreet, for sure, with a new generation of satellites. Also, Frontex is using it. So this, I don't know, probably you cannot read it from the back, but this is a sheet from a Frontex brochure. So they want to use satellites for maritime control, so different types of satellites. And one very interesting is the third from the left, which is optical monitoring of suspicious behavior. And this is like, you know it from biometrics, like that any, so if an object leaves its normal way, so for example not starting at a harbor, or not going with 10 miles per hour, or not ending its trip at a different harbor or something, but maybe a small ship that is going slow, which probably might be a migrant boat, and they want to use satellites for detect migrants boat to stop them so as quick as possible to enter the EU. So this is also not only a military issue, the usage of satellites, but also policing, for example, migration. The EU is setting up a whole new system of border management, which they called a European Border Surveillance System, which should be ready 2012, I think, which means like the networking of each authority that is involved in border protection, border security, and the linking, so putting together so that they can have access on their databases or on their surveillance cameras or whatever in real time. And this is something also very important, the term real time, you can find very often in the text of the European police forces, because they need much more bandwidth, they need much more data to deliver it. So with the surveillance cameras, for example, there's a shift now, a new generation of surveillance cameras. So in former times they had been analog, so they didn't contain so much data, so the packages were quite small before. Now it gets much bigger. And so they have to transmit much more data in much less time. And so the aim is to do it in real time in future. But the problem is the interoperability of the systems of the different EU member states. And I guess this is not only of the Eurosur system. This is also maybe you were asked before for the Schengen information system, if you know that, which is one of the biggest or the biggest European database, mostly for migrants, but not only. And there should have been a second generation of the Schengen information system ready until 2008, but it will not. It is delayed, and I think it's because of software reasons, because they cannot link the different software and hardware in the member countries. Also, border management means the usage of technology, like I mentioned before, some of it, the satellites, unmanned air vehicles, drones for border protection. So the usage of drones already led to arrests, for example, in Switzerland. So they were used at the so-called green border to hunt migrants, and they did. But on the other hand, the future group says, well, we really want to stop migrants by any means, but on the other hand, we want to use the new technologies to make the border crossing for EU citizens as comfortable as possible, which I find really crucial. So I think this quote expresses that very, very well. So the one-stop approach, which is an idea of the USA border guards. So it is also foreseen that in the EU you have the same system like you have now in the United States. So if you want to enter the country, you have to fill out a request in the internet, which is not like applying for a visa. It is just like, okay, I'm coming. That they can probably tell you in advance, no, you won't. I talked a little bit already about biometrics, so it is very much known about like iris scan systems, stuff like that. I think most of you are familiar with that, but it is also about recognizing deviant patterns, deviant behavior, which I mentioned before for the satellites that are used for Frontex missions, for example. And there are many companies offering hardware and software for it. One of it is IBM, for example. IBM had the great chance to make a very large test at the Olympics in China. So they set up one of these C4I systems, including cameras, hardware, software, for the Chinese police this year. And the software also should detect deviant behavior, like lurking, for example. So, or as you can imagine, like cars that are leaving a highway at some point where it's not, whatever, there
there's no possibility, I don't know, so to detect deviant behavior of anything that is in motion or not in motion. Yeah. You have lots of processes of data mining. So, as I mentioned, there is lots of data already gathered, but the problem is how to deal with the data. And the police is using software that is searching in the databases, which you can imagine because nobody can read all the files. But the software can also search in audio files, so there is no need anymore to type all the protocols of telephone interception, for example. So you can easily run a software and let it search for the sound of the word Al-Qaeda in all different writings, for example. And this software creates, like, virtualizes social networks. Well, this is now a social network of some German companies and how they're linked together, but normally it is used against persons or incidents. And to get more information who is linked to whom. And this should also be in future in real time. So the ministers of interior, they have one favorite example. It is the airport example. So imagine there's a terrorist or there's some guy that is making suspicious phone calls from the airport, which means many phone calls, and he's calling somebody who's sitting in another plane, landing at the same airport, so they might meet, and they are both suspicious. And with the passenger name records, so that is the system that you have to, before the flight, you have to pass much information about you and where you book your flight, if you're vegetarian or not, or whatever. And so the software can, in real time, check the risk of the people landing at the airport and give alarm, give advices what to do if they find any risk. So many vegetarians enter, I don't know, meat-eating countries, I don't know. So probably you're also very familiar with that. The police and secret services are also checking the social networks on public information. So I will not deepen that. And they use also so-called semantic technologies, which they call intelligent similarity search, which is not only searching for any pattern that you want to have found, but the software tries to create links, tries to find links, and this is what they call predictive analytics. This is already being used, like the searching of future crimes. So there are many companies that are already offering the software, and they also say that the software is used for many police forces in many countries. So it's not really known. So for example, they also say in Germany, German police is using this software. And I find this very interesting and very important, because that means that our data, so our, oh, let's finish that. So they call it the evolution of crime fighting from reactive to proactive to predictive. This is another company offering the software. And I think we really have to point out that, so what is being done with our data? Not only the fact that it's a scandal that they gather it, they want to know everything about it, but now our data is processed by machines to find if we are risks or not. And I talked to that with some people who are also like doing lots of things in IT, and they said it would be a nice idea to demand that the source code of the software should be published. So how the software is finding links, how we are ranked as risks or not. So for sure, the industry and the police, they will not publish the source code. But I think this makes very clear where the problem is, because for sure the software is private software, so written by, produced by the industry. And
So the policeman that is using it, or the policewoman, like Google, doesn't know why anybody is linked, is ranked high or low as a risk. So I think we really should hear more about that and talk more about that. I will come to an end. So it's also the human factors that the police is interested in. So they have simulations. This is a simulation of public disorder. You have one company that is based in Oberhausen in Germany that is doing regular trainings in simulation of public disorder with police and also military. They created an own center for that, in which they try to feed the databases, because the database should in future, if there is a public disorder, should give decision help, and so they need to make the simulations. About the unmanned air vehicles, maybe you go to the basement, to the microcopter desk, and have a look at their quadrocopters. Just some words, these small drones equipped with cameras are already used by several police forces, like in France, Italy, and UK, to control so-called problem districts, like banlieue, for example. And about Frontex, I talked already. And in Germany, the police in Saxonia bought it for football hooligans, kidnapping, and whatever might occur. And the police in Lower Saxonia, they bought it in the long run to control, to better control the protests against the nuclear waste transports. About Taser, just some words. There's also a company in France, which is Taser France. They try to develop drones that are equipped with tasers. And last but not least, the remote search of computers. That is one favorite project of the German Minister of Interior, Schäuble. And what in the discussion in Germany is not really got voiced is that he advises that also for the European level. So he pushes the online search that should be cross-border, that means Europol, should do that in all European countries. And this will also be part of the next 5 years plan I was talking about that will be decided in Stockholm. I talked now a lot about the high technology of internet monitoring and surveillance and control and command centers. This is a bit of terrorizing. This is a picture I like very much. It is a picture of a brand new internet competence center of the Baden-Württemberg Verfassungsschutz, like Secret Service, that was created 3 weeks ago. And this is at the inauguration, so like that. The Internet Competence Center of the Verfassungsschutz Baden-Württemberg is looking. So it's not looking so dangerous. So as you see, they use Linux. As you also see, they have pinups on the wall, at the calendar on the right. So it's a very normal German office. And you have the files there, like Ordner, I don't know how to, the English expression. And you cannot see this in that resolution. But it is standing IKZ, Internet Kompetenzzentrum Bedienungsanleitung, manual. So maybe what I told you is much of like future that is not written yet. But we have to deal with it, and we have to fight against that. And this is why I'm here. I mentioned it at the beginning. So what we are planning is a large campaign against the Stockholm meeting of the European police. And when I say a large campaign, means a broad campaign that should consist of all the sectors that are concerned, like not only civil liberty groups, but also critical lawyers, like activists, like migrant organizations, stuff like that. So we propose this campaign. You will find all the information about that on the websites that I show at the end. And we will try to have, at least at the NATO summit, one event in this direction, because, as I mentioned, the shrinking of internal, external security, military and police So to point out that and to end the campaign, the Stockholm meeting in November. And this should lead us to a development of a new form of proactive anti-repression. I'm not really sure how this should look like, but yeah, let's develop it. That's it.
So one thing you could do in terms of proactive anti-repression, if any of you guys and gals was involved in writing the software or building the hardware for that kind of stuff, this is your chance for doing whistleblowing in a relatively surveillance-proof environment. So on top of that, does anyone have questions or comments?
Well, I like your presentation very much, and I personally understand the problem very well, but still I have a very critical question, because as a kind of devil's advocate, the question is, what is the argument? Because we have an aging population, voting conservative to law and order political parties, at least in the Netherlands, that's the new fashion, I think. Schäuble is also getting broad support, that law and order and security, that's of paramount importance, and not very many people are interested in these kind of things. So if you're starting to protest, I think you need some strong arguments, because almost your entire presentation, I looked specifically for that, could be explained as a story how wonderful people are doing everything to put everything under surveillance. So you need, I think, also for the political level, good arguments for the opponents of such a policy. And I think that, well, they're pretty hard to find, because the mentality, the prevailing winter action, is the other way around.
Okay then. Should I respond directly? I think you're right, that's a big problem. So for example, in 87 you had the census in Germany, though, so the Volkszählung, and there was a very, very large opposition against that. So people went to jail for not being counted, and this is really gone. This is, nobody can imagine that anymore, and so the surveillance and control is much worse. And so what we can do only is like to try to, at least in the sectors that are critical or a little bit critical, but I get much more optimistic, for example by the demonstrations of the Freedom Not Fear more or less coalition. But my criticism on them is that they are a one-point movement, as we call it in Germany, Ein-Punkt-Bewegung, and they want to be that. So they don't. Most of them don't want to care about other issues. And so I think the first step should be that each sectors, each movements are aware of the others, and try to, well, overcome, I don't know, their borders, their struggles. And I'm much more optimistic by the crisis now. Because, for example, what I mentioned about the riots that are expected by the IMF, I take that serious. So I think this is not just propaganda to get more money for the police. Well, it is for sure, but the problem is real. So the people are more and more uprising by climate issues. So as you might know, for example, climate and migration are the top issues as possible threats for security authorities. And so I think the conditions will increase, get worse.
Is it known why the hell the army was allowed to operate inside Germany to photograph the G8 Protestant, whatever?
There is a court case against it, so there's an appeal against it, but it's, as far as I know, it is not said yet that it was not legal, so it is more the opposite. So everything, everybody from military and police was happy that it worked very well, I would say.
Hi. about the police meeting in Stockholm. What kind of support are you looking for? Are you looking for unions and animal rights activists and people who are directly affected by the police oppression? Or since I'm from Stockholm, I'm local.
Thank you very much for that question. I cut it that because of the time. For sure, we are looking for all support by all different groups, especially from Swedish groups. So for sure, we will not have it makes no sense to make a European mobilization to a mass demonstration to Stockholm, because nobody would come, because also there is the Copenhagen summit in December, so nobody will make his or her way two times to Scandinavia to make a big protest. But we have also some contacts to Swedish groups that are dealing with migration that are that like the idea very much, so for sure there will be a demonstration, smaller one in Scandinavia. But it is not worked out yet what the campaign will have as its output or as its end. So the groups involved are now State Watch, that you might know. It's how to call it, civil liberty, no, not really, but activist civil liberty group from UK, the Transnational Institute from Holland, and migration group from Sweden, and we from Gipfelsuli, and we are discussing now what to do. My proposal is to make something like an online demonstration at the maybe at the European Commission, but this could not be the only target, this could not be the only goal. And what we are doing now, we are writing a call, the call will be ready soon, and then we want to have a discussion what the campaign will be. And I don't like the campaigns where you say, okay, you have now the day of action at the 15th of November, and everybody should act at the 15th of November and make some big mass demonstrations, because in every country you have different dates when it fits to your maybe parliamentarian decisions on data retention or whatever. So some might do it in August, others do it in December, but that it's more or less linked to the new 5 years plan, because it is of great, very great importance. So the new 5 years plan is not a law that they will be decide, but a framework that in the 5 years should be adopted in the member countries. So, and because of this, it's of great importance. I have to stop? Was it?
Oh. Yeah, Hi. Yeah. I guess. Okay, one problem with this court case is with these tornado pictures of G8 is probably the same as in Gorleben. They always have court cases that some practices of the police forces were not legal, but they just do it, and the court cases are afterwards. And it's great to have in court case there it was illegal, but they have done it, and they just don't care. And Gorleben shows that they just do it again and again and again, and then they loosen corset, but they don't care about that it wasn't legal, but they just do it. So probably if there's another G8 camp somewhere else and they're going to take pictures again, they might lose the court case, but they just don't care.
Mostly it takes 5 years, and then they say, okay, it was not really right what you have done, it was not quite legal, but yeah, it's bullshit. But okay, the lawyers, they need it, because for future, dealing with other prohibitions of protest, they need decisions, so positive decisions, so the lawyers always force us to appeal against it, but I see it as well, like you.
Hi. What do you think is the reason for the difference in the worldview between people like Schäuble and us? I mean, he thinks we are evil, we think he's evil.
You mean we should be mediated?
No, what do you think is the reason for the difference in the worldview? Is he plainly evil? I'm using him only as an example now. Matt, or what? Have you any thoughts on that? Where the difference comes from? What are the motivations of people like Schäuble, for example?
So you want me to talk about the class issue?
Okay. If you think that's the reason, then yeah, just say the word and I know what you mean.
I don't know. So we have many differences. But I'm not sure about the direction of the question. So is it like how to, so like he asked before, so how to get more attraction in the broader like population, or what is the question? So where's the difference between Schäuble and me? So I don't like him, he doesn't like me probably.
No, the question is more about, normally you can reason with people. And I had the experience in my personal life, if you try to reason with people, you always come up with something that works, or most of the time. Here it doesn't seem possible. So I wonder where that is coming from.
Well, actually, my acting against the ministers of interior comes from that they are acting against me. I have, so as I mentioned, I'm part of a solidarity group that was involved in many protests. And there had been lots of repression, and we are trying to help the people in court cases or monitoring the police, finding out the new developments, making some press relations on that to point it, so to focus on that a little bit. So this is why I find it very important to act against it. But that's not an answer to your question, no?
No, because my question would be more about what your impression is, why are they acting against you? Why is Schäuble acting against animal rights groups? Schäuble only as a...
Because it's a system here. Question. So for sure, if I say people are protesting, so they are mostly not harmless. So many of them don't want a capitalist system. Many of them want emancipatory conditions, but for everybody. For example, I would say no borders. No one is illegal. So everybody who wants to benefit from their products or from their labor should come and do it. So, for example, and most of the ministers of interior doesn't like that idea. So maybe it's a bit
ideologic, but
yeah, probably different ideology, maybe.
Well, you said. You said mostly harmless. So not all the demonstrations are actually harmless. Some are violent and some are illegal. So why don't you try to stop them from doing illegal and violent acts? Isn't that helping the argument of all this surveillance? A lot of it is caused by Ultroppen.
So the question is, what are we talking about? So are we talking about now about the riots in Athens, or are we talking about file sharing and copying, I don't know, making illegal downloads of Windows products? So this is also illegal. So it's always a cultural decision what is illegal. It's always a political decision. There's nothing natural that is illegal. And also protest, for sure. Sometimes protest is turning, how they call it, violent. I would not use that expression, but I find it. I don't find it so bad to try to stop people who decide about our future, about my future, by a barricade. I don't find that so bad. It's an ideological difference, also.
Okay, so I'd say that would have been the last question. We need to wind down to make space for whoever comes after us. So. Think about whistleblowing if you have the chance, and otherwise let's thank Matthias again for his nice talk.
Thank you.